Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon. Shay, I have no clue what I just watched here in Tiger Stadium, but you are the seasoned pro.
Well, we are in Tiger Stadium. If you're watching this on YouTube, once again, this is not a room in our house. We've finagled our way into an auxiliary radio booth here, or yes, media booth. But it's quiet, so we can cut the podcast. All right.
Exactly. I mean, LSU defeats Alabama 32-31 in a game that there's so many places you could start. But in a general sense, it is a win that puts LSU back in the heart of the landscape of college football. It's Brian Kelly's, obviously, first win over Alabama. It's a statement win. It's a win that has to put everybody in the country on notice from a recruiting standpoint, from a football standpoint, from everything standpoint. It's just a massive, massive win.
And I don't think it's about – I mean, it is. You put people on notice. But I think you went out today and proved that what Brian Kelly said from the start. And when they lost that Florida State game, he said, look, we didn't execute well. We shot ourselves in the foot. We aren't a team yet. It's just a collection of new coaches and transfers and new players and a new quarterback and all of these different things that they weren't going to marry – into a really good football team right away. Now, after that Florida State game in the Superdome, he said, I'm telling you, this team will be better in October than they are right now. Yep. Then they will be better in November than they were in October. They proved that tonight. This was one of the best games they've played, certainly the best game they've played against this type of competition to get a win. Alabama is no doubt one of the best teams in college football. It's a stable program. Nick Saban wins a lot of games for a reason. And Bryce Young is still probably the best quarterback in college football. I mean, he threw it 51 times tonight for 328 yards, just one touchdown, threw the pick to start the game that was massive. Alabama could have gone up, but LSU took the lead in the beginning. They run the ball, 30 times. Gibbs was awesome for Alabama. 465 total yards to LSU's 367. If I just tell you all that, you think, damn, Alabama just, went up and down the field all night on LSU, and that really wasn't the case. LSU made a ton of timely stops. In the first half, the two teams were just trading punts. We'll get into some nuances of the game here and maybe some big plays or our thoughts, but I will say that was the best Tiger Stadium crowd I've seen in a long time, and I think it's clear to them that Brian Kelly was the right hire, that this team's going in the right direction, that the foundation is being set, and in year one, when you were supposed to win 6-7 games, according to Vegas, the people who know how to set odds, LSU's 7-2, and if they just beat Bama, number 6 team in the country, if they beat A&M and Arkansas, they're going to the SEC championship in year one of the Brian Kelly era.
Yeah. I mean, you now control your own destiny, like you said, which is just an incredible place to be in. Even if in theory they did win out, let's say, and you lose in the conference championship game, you don't make it to the playoffs. Like, okay, you still end the year 10-2. Like, it's an absolutely unreal season to where we went into it. We both had 8 wins for this team, which I still feel like it's a very, very reasonable thing because we watched this team against Auburn just 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Right.
Not even have a
not
pulse.
Not the same team anymore.
No, it's not. Against Tennessee, they couldn't stop the run at all. In this game, I thought they did a great job.
In the Tennessee game, Jaden Daniels took a turn where he started to be more aggressive. That was the whole narrative before the past month, was that he didn't trust the receivers yet. He wasn't letting them go make plays. He wasn't trusting his arm. He was just scrambling and not sitting in the pocket. And he's continued to develop under this coaching staff, Joe Sloan, Mike Denbrock, Brian Kelly, getting a rapport with these receivers, the O-line, the run game. Yeah. And now it's very clear that they were going after Kool-Aid and Ricks all night.
Yes.
All
they
night.
Were very
and
aggressive.
And those guys are very, very good corners. They've proven it.
Yeah.
Both here at LSU and at other schools. Kool-Aid at Bama. Both guys in high school. Like, those guys are legit. And Neighbors and Boutte, they just went at them all night. Big night for Neighbors. Big night for Boutte.
Jaden Daniels to me is where you start.
22 of 32, had a couple touchdowns, didn't throw a pick, didn't turn the ball over. There was one turnover in this game. It was
that one.
The
and that's
first
what we
play
said.
Of the game, or the first drive of the game.
That's what we said. You have to play clean against this team, and that's what this team's done consistently throughout the year. So, I mean, the penalties.
So they didn't play clean, and I know LSU fans are going to scream about the fumble that got touched by Latu out of bounds and didn't get overturned. And then they tipped the ball. I talked to Mekhi Wingo after the game, and he was going through his interview, and he said, 100% tipped it. And I told the referee, it hit my hand. Here's where it hit it. And the ref's like, well, I'm not that judge. I'm not the judge of that call. I'm not the one who made the call or is overturning it. But a ball don't lie moment, I guess, and they ultimately win anyway. Yeah. So I don't think, you know, I'm not going to harp on any of that stuff calls, and I know LSU fans are going to scream about it. Now that they won, it's whatever.
Yeah, it is.
But sloppy game in the sense of 7 penalties for LSU, 64 yards. They were getting some untimely penalties, too. But Bama, 9 for almost 100, which is the Bama way this year. We talked about that all week.
They're averaging 8.5.
Bama's one of the most penalized teams in the SEC. If they came in here in enemy territory and shot themselves in the foot nonstop, which they did time and time again, then it was going to make it tough for them to win. And that was part of the window that LSU needed to stay in the game and make plays when they needed them. And obviously, in the end, pull it off with – and let's go straight to that first off. They kneel it and go to OT. You're on your own 25. You got a couple timeouts, but let's go to OT. All right. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Bama moves it right down and scores. Yeah. So you're thinking, all right, LSU's going to need something here. And in your mind, you're thinking, okay, are they going to get Neighbors involved? Are they going to get Boutte involved? Yeah. Are they going to try to get Josh Williams involved? One play, read option. Daniels keeps it, scores from 25 yards out.
Yeah.
And at no point did the extra point unit ever get
called.
Like Brian Kelly said, this is it. I want to go.
Bama even called timeout.
We do not need to continue to play.
Yeah.
And Bama did call timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Decision did not change.
Nope.
He said, "Let's go for the. We're going for the win." And I talked to a lot of the players in the locker room after the game who were like, pumped. Yeah. Jay Bramplett, the holder, was the one guy who was like, "I don't know, man. I thought we might should have kicked it, but boy, am I happy." And he's a Tuscaloosa native.
Yeah.
And he had a great first half.
Yes.
Great game, but really great first half. Yep. But as a punter, but
yes.
Everybody else was very happy that they went for it. And Jaden Daniels said that that was a play they've worked on tons in practice. That
yeah,
he
you
knew
could
tell. that was going to be the call.
Yeah.
And boy, how about your boy Mason Taylor?
I mean, Mason
Taylor. The touchdown catch to essentially what you thought was winning it before they went down and tied it with 30 seconds left on a field goal, and then the 2-point conversion to win it.
Hey,
LSU fans, y'all knocked this man early in his career this year. Said he shouldn't even have been out there. That's why you stick with him.
Yeah.
That's why the staff said we're not taking him off the field. We're riding him.
Yeah, he's always been the most talented tight end, and that's what they've been sticking with. And Brian Kelly said before the season, that he was one of the best tight end prospects he's ever seen. And this
we didn't
is
know if
kind
that
of,
was lip service.
No, we didn't know if it was lip service at all. But
because he didn't carry some high school ranking of being Brock Bowers
or something like that. But he continuously made plays. I mean, the catch he had in the back of the end zone was awesome. Jaden Daniels, like you said, coming out.
That was a dime.
I mean,
in double coverage.
Rolling out on the touchdown. I thought it was maybe lofted a little bit too much, but it got there. And then 2-point conversions, and that's not an easy throw either to be able to make that. So Jaden Daniels, for me, is where this kind of starts,
and
it's just his 18 ability.
18 for 95 and
rushing.
The
run also.
The
40-yard run there to help set up
the game-winning, or what you thought
touchdown,
was the go-ahead touchdown.
Yeah, the go-ahead
the
touchdown there late.
Regulation.
So his composure,
it's
I mean,
so clear.
Everything
I've
has
said
just
this all year
so
about Jaden Daniels, and there was some hate early on for Jaden Daniels that I was telling everyone to press pause on, because one thing that was clear, he's never rattled.
Yeah.
It's clear that he started 30
That's
games
why he won
in
the
college
job.
Before now, and now let's be very real. They went in the offseason and got him for this.
Yes. 100%.
30-something games under his belt. Not going to be rattled. Can run the football. 95 yards rushing tonight.
Yep.
Almost every game they've won that mattered, right, against good competition. He was paramount with
his
feet.
Yep.
And now with his arm. He's the real deal this year. He is one of the most improved quarterbacks in college football.
Yeah. And I don't have anything else on the offense. I mean, if you have anything else before we move. I mean, the running backs were really good. Emery and Williams, I was happy with their
Josh Williams is the guy that – and I tweeted this. I don't know the history of LSU's walk-on running backs, but he's got to be the best, if not one of. But he's not putting up 100-yard games. You just get into the second half of games where you say, we need a first down here on 3rd and 4, and he gets it.
Yeah.
Or we need a big block here, and he gets the chip and makes the play. Or – you know, whatever, my big
He's
catch.
Just a calming presence, I feel like, right next to Daniels.
He can get – he chunked some off at the end to get them down at the goal line.
Huge run there.
Really, really big play
on that
tonight.
Third down, I was surprised they ran it. But, yeah, him –
Hey, Emery,
was
5.2 yards
Emery
a carry.
Emery was explosive at times.
I think Goodwin got hurt because he carried once for 7 yards, and then he didn't go back
in. Didn't come back in, yeah. So it's a but, yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, you had those guys – I was really happy with the offensive line. I think I might do my Monday film study on the offensive line and how they handled it because it was exquisite. I mean, just from we had question marks with the freshman tackles. I thought they did really well. They schemed it up really well. They rolled out Daniels when they had to. They just continuously gave Daniels different platforms, and he was pretty comfortable on the night. I mean, 22 of 32, and then you look on the other end, and Bryce Young was under 50% passing because he was so off-platform so often. So that's where it starts for me if we get to the defense side of the ball. But yeah.
So Jaden Daniels, 22 of 32, 70% completion percentage, 137 quarterback rating, couple touchdowns, no turnovers, through the air, and obviously ran for a touchdown. But that looks great, right? You look at 22. They've done a really good job this year of spreading the ball around. That's just been part of the MO. This game, it was clear that Denbrock schemed Neighbors and Boutte to be the guys, and they were going after Ricks and Kool-Aid McKinstry all game because you look down the receiving breakdown at the end of this game, and Boutte, 7 catches for 51 yards, Neighbors, 6 for 49. Then you get to Mason Taylor at tight end with 3 for 36 and a touchdown. Then Emery and John Williams
Emery and Josh Williams.
Josh Williams combined for 5 catches. And then the only – so outside of Boutte and Neighbors, the only receiver who caught a pass was Kyron Lacy, which is for 5 yards. It got a first down. He got lit up on, and he held on to it, which is a huge play. But that was it. Everything else was Boutte and Neighbors.
Yes. I mean,
your two best receivers.
And I thought they were on the field a lot more.
I predicted Brian Thomas and Dre Jenkins to be my breakout players. They didn't have a damn catch.
They just kept those two on the field.
They
the
just kept
time.
Going after them.
Yeah, and offensively, it was obviously a slow start. It took them a while to get going, but I mean, I felt good about them because they were in field position wise. They were like near midfield for a lot of those, and they didn't turn it over. Like they didn't make that mistake. They kept pinning Alabama back consistently and making them drive the length of the field, which made it tough. So
yeah, that was big in the first half when people were trading punts, especially. They never gave a chance for Alabama to jump to a lead that a lot of people thought LSU's fallen behind in every game that's mattered this year. So you weren't going to be surprised if that happened. Instead, it was LSU who took the 7-0 lead on a great play by John Emery. Okay, let's flip it before we get kicked out of the press box.
I know, we got 9 minutes.
Defense. And I know people are going to look. 465 yards, 31 points. Granted, you went to OT. But the defense played really well.
I was floored by how well the defense played. And I wrote that story on how LSU's defense can play against Alabama's offense. And it went almost exactly to script. Like, just watching the film, you could tell LSU's defensive line was the best pass rush that Alabama has faced this year. And then not only that, I thought Matt House schemed up so many more blitzes than he has the entire year, probably because Perkins was on the field, so he brought more linebackers. But they were hitting Bryce Young repeatedly. And then the run defense, which was a question mark, if you go back to the Tennessee game,
right,
it became a strength. I mean, Gibbs got going in the second half, but I thought they were – and then, there were a couple of the big plays where McClellan had the 60-yard pass and run, and then which only ended up being 3 points, which was huge. And then, obviously, the Bryce Young Houdini act where he ends up Bo Nixing it and finding Ja'Cory Brooks for a touchdown. Outside of those two plays, I cannot ask – you can't ask for anything more from this defense. The defense played a just terrific, terrific game from start to finish. I mean, holding the field goals I thought was huge. Getting timely stops, and then obviously you had the penalties late in the game that kind of gave them second life, Alabama. But, I mean, Harold Perkins, B.J. Ojulari, Mekhi Wingo, it's a monster defensive front. Jaqueline Roy is still there as well. I thought the corners, Mekhi Gardner and Jarek Bernard, Converse played their best.
Had a great pick.
Bernard played his best game of the season.
They had some good plays, too, in the fourth quarter where they were just making Bryce Young throw it away or not kind of put it into too much risk of danger. Yeah.
So that was just amazing in how they executed it. And although Bryce Young and the offense went down the field on the first drive and, you know, resulted in interception, that wasn't the most promising thing. But they came back from that, and Alabama did not drive the length of the field like that. At least not in that fashion for the rest of the game, really, until the fourth quarter. So just a terrific performance from that defense, and I have to tip my cap.
Harold Perkins, a beast.
Oh, dude.
He cramped up. That's what was going on. So he kind of was trying to finish out the game while playing on some cramps. But, monster. Ojulari, beast. Ollie Gay played well tonight.
I thought he did. I thought he played. There were moments where it's like, all right, you can kind of tell. He's never been the most fluid, you know, pass rusher guy, but he did his job.
And we didn't see a ton of Jay Ward tonight, which I guess was kind of like
that was the other thing is, they went to more of like a 3-4 type thing, 4-3, however you want to call it, to where they had multiple linebackers on the field, and Jay Ward at the nickel spot didn't play as much. So their game plan going into this 100% was to hit Bryce Young, get to him, and don't let him, you know, get comfortable. Which
and that was the Jackson Dart second half mentality. Yep. It was just, let's just go after him, start sending the blitz and see what he does.
Yep. So, yeah.
I don't think Bryce Young has the Bama receivers this year him out in the sense of, you saw the man, we forget this, he Houdini'd what should have been probably the winning touchdown to a wide open Ja'Cory Brooks after he spun out of Harold Perkins and Ojulari and a couple other people. Yep. Then LSU goes right back down and delivers a dramatics.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about on the preview podcast, and I think we did on the mailbag as well. I was like, that's my whole thing with this Alabama offense is it's literally only Young and Gibbs. It's those two.
They're beasts, though.
Oh, they're great. And that's why I picked Alabama to win this game. I thought they were enough. But those receivers are not Devontae Smith, they're not Jalen Waddle, they're not John Metchie, they're not these.
They're not Johnny Metchie right now. I mean,
yeah. I mean, they're not these guys, which allowed LSU, Mekhi Gardner and Jerick Bernard-Converse to stay attached pretty well, and I thought that was the difference.
Ja'Cory Brooks ends up leading the way, but 40 of that comes on a wide open kind of busted play where Bryce Young did the damage there. Lay 2, 3 for 50. That's a solid game.
Yeah,
for
he was
a
good
tight end. They threw a bunch of the backs, McClellan. Gibbs, obviously 8 for 64. I mean, Gibbs went for 160 something combined.
Yeah, he's.
But they kept him out of the end zone. He never got to the end zone. Jermaine Burton, 2 catches. JoJo Earl, 1 catch.
Yeah, again, it's
like, Kobe Prentice, just 1 catch for 4 yards.
Yeah, you live with those guys.
And he's capable of much more than that. Prentice has delivered way bigger games than that.
Yep.
So more or less, they shut the guys down. I don't, you know, still, he threw for 330 yards, but.
On 40, whatever that is, 49% completion percentage, man. That, I never would have predicted that. Just no matter how much the pass rush got there, I did not think.
And 4 carries,
Bryce
10 yards.
So off platform, so shook up. I mean, and that's the other thing is.
Not against this LSU defense. We didn't.
I was high on this LSU defense.
No,
I was really high on, but I didn't expect this performance. So, and the last thing, I mean, Bryce Young had that moment, you know, and then I get on Twitter and it's, man, that was the Heisman moment for Bryce Young. Heisman moment for Bryce Young. Jaden Daniels goes down the field, scores, has the run in overtime, delivers the 2-point conversion, just continuously delivered. And so that's where, for me, I mean, watching Jaden Daniels go toe-to-toe with Bryce Young, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, was something I'll never forget. That was amazing.
Well, then throws for more touchdowns and outrushes him by 100 yards and scores a touchdown. I mean,
it was amazing.
Another
have no
step
words.
In the right direction.
I have no
now,
words.
Okay, so as we wrap up, Bama, great team. That's what makes this win really special for LSU in year one of the Brian Kelly era. The two programs are not on the same footing right now in terms of what they've got on roster, the stability they've got on staff,
for sure.
Just kind of everything that they've – like Bama's played for the past two – since LSU won in 2019,
it's been Bama 1.
It's been Bama 1, and then Bama again playing in the national championship this past year. So LSU's not there yet. But suddenly they win this game, and you've got a chance. 3 games left. 2 of them are SEC games. You got UAB sandwiched in between. Arkansas at 11 a.m. next weekend up in Fayetteville. Tough.
It's always – I mean, yeah, it's a road SEC game.
They lost today to Liberty.
They lost to Liberty.
That wouldn't matter. Arkansas is Arkansas. They'll play you tough.
Yeah,
and A&M.
And that's the other thing is this team, like you mentioned, they don't have the talent to just roll out the ball and be like, we're just going
to
go beat
Arkansas
40-0.
No, they need to just – they have to execute.
You have to execute.
Have to play well.
Which we saw them do in the second half against Ole Miss. We saw against Auburn what happens when they don't execute. Like we saw in the first half against Mississippi State. They can't roll the ball. They have to execute. So that's why it's – you know, they still have to win those games against Arkansas
and A&M.
And
we haven't seen them lose focus.
No.
As the season goes on. No. So I don't think that they're setting themselves up for a week where – Brian Kelly, the staff's going to – the leaders on the team are going to allow them to say, oh, well, we're rolling to Atlanta now.
Yeah.
I mean, Arkansas lost to Liberty. A&M's got 3 wins on the year.
Yeah.
No problem.
Got to execute. So,
but let's let fans enjoy the win tonight.
What a win.
You can figure all that out
later.
A
win.
No, it's a great win. It's and it was a great game.
What a game.
Both teams delivered some big moments. I mean, I think there were 7 lead changes in regulation.
Yeah.
Overtime. One team scores the TD and the other scores on the first play and then says we're going for 2 and wins it.
I was in awe for almost the whole game. I mean, the crowd, 100,000.
It was packed from the and it wasn't like loud. A lot of games. The crowds are late arriving. They're still out there tailgating. Every Bama and LSU fan were in their seat when kickoff happened.
It was so loud.
And nobody left until the end of the game.
It was so loud. It was ringing loud. I was amazed. It was amazing.
That's Brian Kelly's first taste of what Tiger Stadium is.
It was my first taste of what Tiger Stadium is.
Well, there you go. You've been around a lot longer than Brian Kelly, unfortunately.
Yeah, twice as long.
Okay, well, we'll do a mailbag. We'll get some mailbag questions out there on Sunday. We'll do a mailbag on Monday. We'll talk to Kelly on Monday. Tons of recruiting reaction. LSU got a commitment already from Kyrie Lee out of John Arrett after the game. But Toviano, Ricks, all those guys were there. Billy's already got recruit reactions on the site. We're going to have a lot more on Sunday. So everyone enjoy this. Enjoy this. This is a great win. This is an unexpected. LSU fans thought they were going to win 6-7 games this year and just wanted to show improvement. Now they're 7-2 and enter the middle part of November controlling their own destiny in the SEC West.
Whew. There you have it. Subscribe to the Bengal Tiger on 3. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube. All that good stuff. It's 11:59. We are about to get kicked out the
midnight.
The press box
closed. It is now midnight.
It is now midnight. All right. Let's see if we can get out of here.
Good job, Matty B.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Fit it in.